He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, joined on this fine Thursday night by you guys. As I've said, this is going to be, these solo episodes are going to be lounge episodes. And then I'm right after this, I'm going to record this evening's lowdown that will go up. It'll be the first thing that you see on your feed. So far, the response of those have been pretty positive, so we're going to keep on going there. Thank you for your guys' support on those, too. We have a ton of questions. We have questions from We have questions from every mailbag, iTunes, Twitter. We have questions from Discord. We'll get questions from the live audience. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we have to get to, and we have LeBron James showing up on the injury report as a surprise addition there. So we have, like I said, a ton to get to. Let's go ahead and dive in. A quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcast. If you guys are listening here in the morning. If you guys are watching live, please hit that subscribe and like button. Those tend to help us as well. If you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge is where you can find the show. And also, you know, hit that subscribe and like button there. And then, tell your friends about the show. Tell your enemies that you hate it. And that I'm too lazy to do my hair. I actually did my hair today, but I was wrestling with the kids and it's just kind of a mess. So wore one of our brand new hats here from the folks at Travis Matthew. Tell them that I'm a slob and that I am constantly coughing. I talk over my all of those things. I read the criticisms too. And make sure you tell your friends that, you know, none of that stuff is actually true, that you guys, you know, he's a perfect show. Let's dive on in though, by starting with, LeBron James's, foot injury, whatever we're going to call it. And then we'll dive into your guys' questions. So I'm looking here at the injury report. The Lakers currently list, they play Atlanta tomorrow. They currently list Anthony Davis with his plantar fasciitis. He is considered probable for the game. LeBron and Bronny are both questionable for the game. Jackson Hayes, Jalen Hood-Schifino, Austin Reeves, Jared Vanderbilt, Christian Wood are all out. Austin went from really weird situation here with Austin's injury. Now he's dealing with a contusion, which I'm hoping his leg is still attached. I did reach out to people close to Austin, and it's just a day-to-day type of injury. And you know, those, it's a pelvic contusion. It's a butt bruise, you know, and those are, you know, when they get all the way deep into the bone there, it is really uncomfortable. And you know, you have some good days, you have some bad days. So it kind of makes some sense that it would be kind of up and down, but, you know, Austin at one point was upgraded from doubtful to questionable and you're thinking, okay, well maybe this guy's coming back, soon. Then before their last game, he was considered out, you know, he was eliminated from contention, for that game. But it's certainly interesting that going into the Atlanta game tomorrow, now I guess you can get a new injury report tomorrow, and we might get an update on that situation. But it's interesting that he went from doubtful to questionable to out, and then skipped questionable or doubtful and went right to out. for the next game. So we'll keep an eye on that. But the biggest news, obviously, is LeBron being added to this injury list. He is considered questionable with left foot soreness. Honestly, a foot problem would explain a lot of the shooting stuff, right? And we saw in those playoffs a couple of years ago when LeBron just couldn't throw a pea in the ocean. That had a lot to do with, you know, some foot problems that he was having back then. And, you know, when you're shooting on a bad wheel, it is really difficult to shoot with any kind of consistency. And it would explain why LeBron's misses are all over the place. Short, long, right, left, air balls, bricks, in and out. Like, it just, you know, he's what, one for his last 20, one for his last like 20 attempts from 3-point range. If he's having foot problems, that would kind of explain it. And, you know, ideally LeBron would take tomorrow off. Now Atlanta has won 5 in a row. They're playing good basketball. So it isn't like, oh, well, you should be able to beat Atlanta without LeBron. You would really risk losing to Atlanta if LeBron doesn't play. But if it's a foot problem, and given the way that LeBron has played, I still probably side with playing this really with a ton of caution. Your next game after that is the Blazers, and then you have 5 days in between the Blazers game and their next game with Minnesota. So you could give LeBron upwards of like a week if he sits out the next couple of games before he's expected to play again. That would be huge for LeBron. By the way, I have no idea what we're going to do in those five days between the Portland game and the Minnesota game. I'm going to lose my mind. Twitter's going to get ugly if they lose that Portland game and you have to sit on that for 5 games. But the problem with like sitting LeBron is that it, with Austin considered out, now you're down to just D'Angelo Russell is your only creator and initiator out there. And obviously that is not a spot that that JJ Redick would want to be in. So man, it's a tough, you know, you have Gabe, I guess, who could help a little bit. Max, I would really prefer to keep him as far away from creation as possible. And then, you know, we'll, you know, with the rest of the roster there just isn't any creativity there. And I could see why LeBron would look at the situation and be like, yeah, I'll just go, I'll give it a go. And then I will have that 5-day break. Maybe you play him against Atlanta and then you don't play him against Portland and you do have that full week in between the Atlanta and Minnesota game. Maybe that makes some sense, but you know, kind of regardless here, it's a difficult spot that the Lakers find themselves in. It's a shallow roster. It's a thin roster, and it's now a banged up roster as well. And given the type of injury that Austin is currently dealing with, where it is this up and down, you know, take one step forward, couple steps back type of recovery period with yet another contusion. Eric Church has a song called "If I Could Find a Word and Watch It Die." You know, it's "If I Could Kill a Word" is the name of the song. Contusion is pretty high up on the list of words I would like to kill at this point as it pertains to the Lakers, because Trevor Ariza had one, basically ended his season. You had Kendrick Nunn, obviously, he dealt with one, and then it became an effusion, and it was FU. Chun is how that went. You had, man, you had so much of these. You have, obviously, now Jared Vanderbilt is dealing with an effusion. It's just don't even eat fusion food, even though I love fusion food. Just stay away from it. You'll probably get food poisoning from it, given the way that the Lakers have been absolutely bent over a barrel by contusion and effusion injuries. But yeah, I would like to see LeBron take either like one of the Atlanta or Portland games off, have, you know, a nice long break before you play again. If you could take off both, ideally, that'd be great. If you take off the Atlanta game and lose, you kind of have to play him against Portland. But if you play him against Atlanta and you win that one, you could probably get by against Portland without LeBron. It would be relatively competitive, but I at the end of the day, like I just think they got to get and keep LeBron healthy here. So that's what I would probably do with him. Have him sit one, if not both of these next couple of games, and you see where things stand afterward. And hopefully soon you get back Austin Reeves. All right. We already have a couple of starred comments here. We have questions here from iTunes. We have questions from Twitter that I asked for. We have questions from Discord that I asked for as well. So let's start with iTunes. That always is the best way. Again, a reminder of, you know, 5-star rating reviews is the best way to get your topic read and covered here on the show. Best freeway, that is. And then, you know, the next best thing is to do the starred comments. And then if I ask for questions and you prove that you if you give me a screen grab of you being subscribed to the show, that's another good way. And then Discord is obviously great as well. I'm pretty active in the Discord thing. And even if I'm not active, I'm reading all of the comments there. It's just that, you know, with the writing and the, you know, now the additional show and then Passport, and then I got a promotion there at Odyssey, which I can't wait to talk to you guys about at the beginning of the new year. It's been a busy time. So I promise I'm reading the comments and occasionally I'll respond on Discord. And if you guys want that Discord link, I can put that in the comments. Just let me know. But let's start with iTunes, where Chris Garcia is asking about commercials. Your commercials, WTF, is the subject line of this question. I love listening to you frequently, but these commercials every 6 minutes are a pain. Always while you're talking. Any way to limit that, or do you have a paywall subscription plan? I'm just curious. All right. So here's the thing. My industry is in a brutal patch where we as creators and our employers and, you know, like we have to do everything that we possibly can to squeeze as much juice from the stone as we can. And I know that that gets tough for you, the listener. I would love to be able to just scale back the ads and have better relationships that are more fruitful and then fewer of them. That would be great, but that's just not the world that we're living in. I am going to talk to my bosses to see if they have considered a subscription plan that would allow you to get free, like ad-free episodes. One thing I'm thinking about doing is, you know, seeing as the Substack has gone basically silent, one thing I could do is just move the audio to Substack. And if you are a subscriber to the Substack, you can get, the episodes, all of the episodes there ad-free every month. That I think is, and I would charge the absolute least that Substack allows you to charge. I think I looked the other day, it's like $5 a month. I wish it was less, but, you know, that's the absolute least that Substack allows you to charge there, and that's how things go there. But I understand. Trust me, I do. This is how we all make our living, and this is the industry that we work in. Saw Vox had another series of layoffs there too today. My heart breaks for those guys who get laid off right before the holidays. Just absolutely brutal timing there from Vox. it's just everything is in a tough spot right now, and the economy is in a tough spot right now, and we just got to get through it. And hopefully when things pick up, we'll have better relationships with fewer ad partners, and would therefore be able to run fewer ads. But this is just kind of the, this is kind of how it's going to go for a little bit. All right, let's get to the super comments, which means fuck Washington. Brandon Omang writes, Gabe in 2 seconds for Jonas, Rui JHS, and one first for DFS and Sharp. Get back a wing defender and two physical big men to back up or even start with AD. The Gabe package for Jonas seems about right. I think that's the iteration of the trade that I think I've heard the most of. Got another report apparently from Bobby Marks saying that most people around the league, as I've been telling you guys for weeks, think that Jonas eventually winds up a Laker. I know Rob and the Wizards have a good verbal, you know, line of communication, and their negotiations over the summer for Kuz were a lot less fractured than the ones with, say, like them and Portland for Jeremy Grant. There was at least a back and forth there, whereas like with Portland, it was pretty much like, any update? No, go bleep myself. Okay. Anytime they asked about Jeremy Grant and said they didn't want to give two picks. So we'll kind of see, you know, what's going on there, but the Gabe in 2 seconds for Jonas makes some sense there. Probably try to keep that at one. I don't think you need to give up two. Rui, JHS, and a first for DFS and Sharp. Sharp is rebounding the shit out of the ball recently. The only problem there is that, like, now you went from not enough centers to now you have four backup centers. So you'd have to find something to do eventually with Christian Wood and Jackson Hayes. If Wood is ever healthy, if Hayes is ever healthy, I know. But now you go from like an empty center rotation to a crowded one. And given the Lakers' luck, all of those guys would just magically get healthy as soon as Jonas walks through the door. And surely it would be purely coincidental and have nothing to do with the fact that some guy walked in and is going to take all of their minutes. But yeah, and then De'Ron Sharp, I think I prefer over Hayes and Wood together. So I like the idea of going out and getting Sharp. I know the Lakers have a good relationship with Sharp's agent, the same agent as agency that reps Austin. So that I think, also helps you there a little bit. A first for Dorian Finney-Smith. I think the Lakers would hesitate right now on that one. I do think he eventually goes for a first. It's just a matter of like protections and all of that stuff. But I wrote this for Clutch Points, narrated it, for yesterday's Lowdown, that, you know, sooner than later, the Lakers gotta pull the trigger here. The Rui trade early in the season, a couple of years ago, is kind of what I have in mind. Just do something to shuffle the deck here a little bit. And refresh the energy in the building right now, because it does seem pretty stale. Oming writes again, a rotation of AR, DK, DFS, LBJ, AD, D'Lo, Max Christie, JV, Christian Wood, and two JVs? Am I blanking on who the other JV would be? I think you wrote JV twice on accident. Would be very solid. Oh, Jared Vanderbilt. So, man, doesn't that say something that I forgot about Jared Vanderbilt? Woof. Still have Sharp as your third center. Can also do something with Hayes and Reddish too. I think, I don't know if I want to go out on this limb. Nah, screw it. We're going into the weekend. I think we're going to start hearing Rui's name in some of these trade talks. I'm not going to share too much here, but the Lakers don't have very many options. He's the only healthy wing. He's youngish, flashed some stuff in the playoffs. And yet, like for the Lakers, they were hoping for a lot more than they have gotten from Rui this year. And I would look for that in the next, you know, I wouldn't say weeks, but as we get closer to the deadline, if Rui keeps defending the way that he is, I would just keep an eye out for his name in some of those trade rumors. Avant Traders writes, I think there's any chance the Lakers aren't willing to trade the two first round picks. Any chance? Yeah, there's a chance of that being a possibility. If the Lakers, you know, continue to be mediocre and the front office thinks that there isn't enough that can be done to elevate this team to, you know, real contention, then yeah, like they might finish the season with both of those first rounders in their pockets still. Even if that's the outcome, obviously I'd be pretty annoyed. But what bothered me more than not moving the first rounders the previous year was not moving second rounders either. They have like 6 or 7 second rounders at their disposal. Guys go for second round draft capital like all the time. And if you combine expiring contracts with second round draft capital, you should be able to get something in return there. So, whether it's finishing the season with two first round picks, it would be very disappointing and stuff like that. But the thing that like really set me off over the last couple of transaction periods, whether that be last year's deadline and then this last summer, is the fact that there were no marginal moves using those second round picks to either clear roster spots for guys that aren't going to play for you and shouldn't be playing for you, or you know, moving those second round picks to go out and get, you know, some depth or some youth or some athleticism, a different ingredient, right? Like the Lakers' problem right now is that they keep on trying to cook different meals with all of these different lineups with very similar players. They're all these like offensive minded, not exactly like slow footed, but also not exactly fast footed players. And it just leads to this very kind of soft and slow and unathletic roster up and down. Go out and get somebody who's like noticeably fast. I remember when the Lakers, who was the guy, the point guard that they got, that Ron Artest actually was like complaining that he's playing too fast. Help me out here. Who was the point guard that they got from Cleveland? And gosh, who was he? Help me out. Like it's bothering me that I'm not, it's not Ennis. It's Raymond. No, damn it. But anyway, the Lakers that season had like Nash, who was kind of slow. They had Kobe, who was like on the back end of his career, wasn't exactly fast. Artest was kind of a big bruising small forward. So he wasn't. Thank you, Randy. Gosh, dang it. I knew it was Ramon. Ramon Sessions. Jalen also coming in here. Ramon Sessions. That team was like really slow. And then they went out and they got Sessions. And he was so much faster than everybody. And it introduced this like completely different ingredient that Phil Jackson could cook with. Or I guess that was Mike D'Antoni. I don't know. He shows up and he's doing these like one man fast breaks. And eventually Ron Artest, like after one of these games, goes like, "Hey man, slow down. We are old. We can't keep up with you here." And I'm like, "No, shut up, Ron." let the dude run. You guys haven't run all year. Like, let's actually like pick up the pace here a little bit. And I think that's what the Lakers kind of need now is an injection of youth and an injection of give a bleep, an injection of athleticism and physicality and all of these things that the Lakers just are really devoid of right now. And do I think it would fix? Yeah, he eventually, Chris, was a disaster eventually. But initially, I was like, man, it's so refreshing to get somebody who's actually goes into like breaks into a sprint every so often. But like, you know, the Lakers right now really need that kind of vibe shifter, on the court. And like, obviously Raj and I spent a lot of time talking about the culture and how, you know, some mid-season acquisition for second round draft capital is probably not going to have the culture shifting, impact that the Lakers really need. But like maybe just by having somebody who like it's kind of like getting a young dog when your current dog is getting a little older, how that dog was, like we have Callie is like 9 and it recently just started getting really cold here in Texas and it's been like affecting her like knee and hip back there. And I'm looking, it's like, man, I don't need to watch you age, please. And I've been begging Jen to get a second younger dog so that, you know, this younger dog shows up and pisses off Callie enough that she wants to go out and chase the second dog. And it does like, you know, inject a little bit of energy into, you know, our currently, frankly, too rapidly aging pup and Callie. So, like that's kind of what I think this team needs. It's like somebody who, you know, will go out there and like, you know, I obviously am not the biggest fan of Russell Westbrook, the player and stuff like that, especially at the amount of money that the Lakers were paying him when he was there. But you talk to people in Denver, and they all say like, yeah, they like the fact that he'll go out there and just sprint occasionally. And he just lets out this energy and he walks around with this energy that, has helped in that organization a little bit. And, you know, really what I'm looking for and what a lot of people who I am friends with who cover the team there are looking forward to is that time that Russell Westbrook challenges Jamal Murray and be like, hey dude, you're playing like shit. Like we need more from you. And Russ will say that kind of stuff occasionally. And if and when that happens, we'll see how Murray handles it and all of that good stuff. But you know, for the Lakers, they need somebody who just, you know, and this is where not having Vando hurts, obviously, because this is the kind of thing that he would do. But you can't just have one guy doing that. And I said it the other day, you know, still waiting for a real flagrant foul, like not like a ticky-tack one that you're looking like, come on, a flagrant two. But like, no, like a flagrant two that they really earned it, that like there was some debate, is that a flagrant one or is it a flagrant two? Like, I want to see like the Lakers acquire somebody who walks out onto the court and knocks them over for the sake of knocking them over. Not going so far as like Isaiah Stewart, who wants to fight almost every other night. That's a little extreme. But the Lakers, like they at one point had Dwight Howard, they had Boogie, they had Markieff Morris, and they had all of these, like they had these guys who were like the physical backbone of the team. And then now the physical backbone of the team is like LeBron and AD, and they can't be that. You don't want them doing that stuff. You want a couple of goons. Like you want a couple of guys who the other team is always a little nervous. Like, is that guy going to keep cheap shot me here? If I drive to the basket, am I going to like, I can't fully expose everything there because I can't pause, but like, because I might get laid out. Like the Lakers really missed that aspect of this team. And, you know, I don't think that kind of a player really costs you that much. And maybe Jonas is that. Like he'll throw the occasional cheap shot. He's big enough too. That's for damn sure. Dylan Brooks, like, is, you know, Jalen Farrell mentions Dylan Brooks here. I don't think he's going to be available. He's playing too well for a team that is playing too well. But like those kinds of players who, like, when they're out there on the court, the Draymonds of the world, the other team is kind of looking at them like, what's this guy going to do next?
I don't want to be the guy that gets hit by that guy. Please, Draymond, don't kick me in the nuts here, right? And I think the Lakers really kind of missed that player. So, that injection of energy is something that I think the Lakers really, really missed. They need to add it soon.